Sweeney Murdy, our Yankee reporter, joins us here on The Fan. How are you, Sweeney?
Right now, I'm just kind of lamenting the fact that I didn't file the paperwork to copyright Mr. Big Chest. That would have seemed like a very smart move.
Yeah, neither you or I were going to be able to pull that one off. sorry to say there, Sweeney. How is the weather down there?
Beautiful. 80-something and sunny all week long. A couple of showers here and there. There was one coldish day last week. Otherwise, it's been beautiful.
Have you been in the hotel pool yet?
No, okay. I have not.
Just check.
No, I've been in the hotel workout room every day.
Nice.
So
that's
far.
Right.
You
can wait till Antonio drops the Mr. Big Chest nickname, and then you can pick it up.
I will have to, start. If I'd have known that see what kind of followers I can pick up if I do the IG live from the elliptical. That would be pretty good.
All right. Speaking of in good shape, from what I'm reading, what I'm hearing, Troy Tulowitzki looks like he's in pretty good shape, and the Yankees feel good about their take a chance signing with him. That he looks like, if he need be to play shortstop for months, he's going to be up to the task defensively, huh?
Yeah, so far, it's all controlled, and that's the thing about when you're taking a chance on a guy who hasn't actually played baseball for a year, you only have this to go on. So when the Yankees said he looked good in his workouts that led them to sign him, when you look at him now and say looks good, it's still a very controlled environment and you're not to the grind of a season. It sounds like the Yankees are going to be very cautious about that, making sure that they don't run him into the ground when they say they're giving him the shortstop job. Aaron Boone made clear yesterday when he's talking about rotating DJ LeMahieu into the lineup that it's going to, there's going to be several days a week where Gleyber Torres slides over to shortstop and LeMahieu is at second base. So I would be surprised at this point if I saw, just a rough guess right now, I don't know that I could see him playing more than 4 games a week. If you're talking about, say, 6 games in a week, I don't know. I would see him playing more than 4 of those games at shortstop just to make sure you have him for the long term that you need him for. You're hoping that is sometime in June by the time Didi gets back, but it also could be July or later, depending on what kind of setback he might have or how his program is going. So, for now, everything sounds like it's going okay, but you have to let him actually get playing real baseball games before you can determine what you have.
Give me a read on Mr. Torres and his attitude. Does he think of himself as a shortstop? Is he a second baseman? Does he not care as long as you pencil his name into the lineup? I'll go out and play wherever you say, Skip. Just make sure I'm in the lineup and I'm going to get my 4 swings, 5 swings a day. Does he have a preference? Where is Gleyber at as far as if he's asked what he wants to do when he's in the field?
Yeah, to my knowledge, he doesn't have a preference at this point. And, nor should he, really. He's the second baseman on this team who's going to be asked to play short. Last year, if Didi was out, or if when Didi's out now, they've obviously made an effort to keep him over on the other side. I think that, most people I talk to who watched him as he's coming up, say he can definitely play shortstop, but he's probably a guy that you would move over at some point eventually anyway. And I think last year, if you watched him play, he was a little inconsistent at shortstop. So it doesn't surprise me that the longer term solution until Didi returns isn't Torres at short and find somebody else to play second. They found a shortstop because they think Labor's better value is at second base. So I think the bigger question, that will be a better question as you determine if Didi's future is here, because remember, he could be a free agent at the end of the season, and that's a bridge they will cross when they come to it.
All right, one last Yankee shortstop question. They had a meeting with him earlier this offseason. The Yankees have not been closely tied to Manny Machado for weeks now, and it looks like he's going to get big bucks and pretty damn long-term offers elsewhere, like Chicago and or San Diego. Is there going to be one last play for Manny Machado, either Manny coming to the Yankees and or the Yankees going to Manny on a shorter-term deal?
I would never say never, but I think I think the Yankees have made clear their preference at this point is for that shorter term. So it would have to be, you know, the other way around, and Manny coming to, back to the Yankees for that. I don't foresee that at this point. You know, the I think the Yankees were engaged and in good faith very early in the offseason, but when this dragged on, you know, they made their other choices and allocated their resources accordingly. So, listen, I've said this many times. I mean it about Machado. I mean it about Harper. I mean it about, and even Harper's a guy that they really haven't shown a lot of interest in, but I still think it fits. I never believe that those players are not Yankees until they're holding up some other team's jersey over their $1 million suit at a press conference. And that's when I believe that you can officially say the Yankees are out, as much as they want to say and you know, kind of shoot down everything about it. I mean, we know how the Yankees operate. You know, I was here when 5 days before spring training started, Alex Rodriguez walked in, and the best shortstop said, he's going to be our third baseman. So I know never to say never around these guys, but it does look increasingly less likely.
As a once very famous Yankee said, it's not over till it's over. So I hear where you're coming from. Speaking of playing several different positions and Torres moving back and forth and trying to stay on top of two at the same time, how much will we see of Andujar at first base in spring training, if any?
None is planned during game action, and really not a lot of work scheduled, you know, in lead up to that. I mean, you know, Boone said maybe that, you know, maybe when we get deeper into spring, maybe you'll find a day or two where he's maybe getting some work over there, which isn't unusual even during the course of a season for some of these guys to just maybe take some ground balls at a different spot just to have a little familiarity with it. But their plan is for him at third base. You know, they've got a couple of guys here to play first base. They're going to battle it out. DJ LeMahieu is a guy that I think can probably man the position with his athleticism and infield skills. You know, but it's, you know, and Duhar is a guy I think they feel they're better suited trying to get him more reps at third and more work at third to perfect that as opposed to moving him to the other side. You know, so I don't foresee much work at first base for him.
Okay, so you think it's more likely LeMahieu than Andujar if they're going to really specifically for a matchup against a pitcher in April or May that they want to get a specific lineup out there just because the analytics and the numbers say so. More likely LeMahieu moves to first base than Andujar does.
I would think if you're looking at a lineup that has LeMahieu and Andujar in it, I would think that it's either LeMahieu at first or second, or it's got Andujar at the DH and LeMahieu at third. I don't think there's any reason at this point to think Andujar would be playing first base on any kind of a basis for them.
Fair enough. All right, new folks and new places, sometimes personalities need to mesh. How has Paxton fit in with his fellow pitchers so far?
Yeah, he seems to enjoy it. I had a nice conversation with him the other day, and you can check that out online on WFAN.com. It's both him and Jay Happ for a podcast on our site. So go check that out. He doesn't seem to be overwhelmed. It's funny because there's no shortage of small town guys in Yankee history who have thrived in New York. You know, we make a big deal about trying to, you know, fit into this atmosphere if you're not from here. You know, well, you know, Derek Jeter's from a tiny town in Michigan. You know, Mickey Mantle is from a little town in Oklahoma. These are extreme examples I'm giving you. But, you know, you've got a nice Canadian boy who's played in only in Seattle in his big league career. And you say, okay, how's he going to fit in here? He's kind of all in here. He's going to live in the city, and he seems to like everything about it. He's had plenty of time. The acquisition of Paxton was early enough in the off season that he's had plenty of time to get used to this idea. And I think he enjoys this. I think he likes having CeCe Sabathia and Jay Happ around here, a couple other left-handers to compare notes with. And he's a guy who's kind of still just growing into who he thinks he can be and who everybody else thinks he can be. So as Brian Cashman put it when they acquired him, you know, they think he's trending up. And I think Paxton feels the same way. There doesn't seem to be much about this that intimidates him right now.
Sweeney, over the last couple of years, spread out a little bit. Adam Warren has been a contributing pitcher to the Yankees. Come go, yes, no. He's still sitting out there as a free agent. Is he not a Yankee because they just don't think they can need him? They don't know if he's going to be able to do what he's done for them previously. His asking price is just too big. I thought he would be a natural fit if somebody gave him a really big fat contract. All right, he's moving on. He can be in a more prominent role for someone else. Well, that's not happening because he's still sitting out there. Why is Adam Warren not back in the Yankee pen?
I agree with you that his is a role, the role that he filled and filled very well, that I don't think has a perfect replacement for it yet on this roster. So I found it curious, too, as to why he wasn't there yet. At last check, and this is probably, I don't know, over a week ago, that Warren was still, there was still some thought about our possibility of being a Yankee, but nothing real firm and no solid interest at this point. Still perhaps looking for a multi-year deal, and maybe that's a holdup. They have Luis Sessa probably scheduled to be the long-type guy or long-reliever-type guy at this point, and he's out of options. So if, you know, barring anything else, I would think that he's got a spot in this eight-man bullpen as that, you know, the A.J. Cole guy, the guy that, you know, pitches once every 2 weeks and still fans seem to, get all bent out of shape with the guys on the roster. As I've said before, there aren't a lot of all-stars and Hall of Famers filling the eighth slot in a bullpen. So you're kind of looking at guys like that. I wouldn't discount the idea that he could join this team at some point, but they don't seem to be in any kind of a rush to add any more relievers on this roster. I don't know if any injury factor will change that. They've had to add a couple of guys to the 40-man roster. Remember a guy that I don't, you know, Tommy Canely's a guy who made a pretty big impact 2 years ago and then had some injury issues last year that kind of derailed his season. So you do have a few other arms here that you might be able to rely on in a situation like that. But his is a role because of the innings he's able to fill at times that I saw perhaps an opening there. It just doesn't seem the Yankees feel they have a need for it at this point.
If we start with the assumption that opening day has a significance, opening day pitcher has a significance. Oftentimes I think it's overstated because you get 2 weeks into the season and who's your opening day starting? It doesn't matter. You just get in a number and a rotation and you're not always matching up against the other team's number one. So I think people put too much emphasis on it, but I can't say there's not at least some significance to it. Two-part question. Who's the opening day starter for the Yankees?
What's the second part?
I'll get to that after you answer the first.
Okay. Well, Severino is probably going to be the guy.
Okay. Who's the opening day starter in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre?
Ah, good question. That I'm not real sure about yet. I haven't broken that one down yet. But I look at if you just look at the Yankee rotation, I'm thinking Severino 1 and Sabathia 5 is probably the easy way. How you fill the rest is kind of intriguing. As I mentioned earlier, you've got three left-handers, so you want to split the looks a little bit. So I think if I'm going to read this the way I can read it on February 19th, I would think Paxton 2, Tanaka 3, Hap 4, Sabathia 5, and you're right. When they take their turns, you expect them to be good that day. It's not like because they're number 3 or 4, you expect them to be less. You expect them to be that good. But I think having to maybe break up some of these guys and not stack too many lefties together, and as they say, you know, you like to give different looks, I think the ability they feel Paxton has to match up against some of the game's better pitchers, I think that's something that they feel really good about and would line him up there. And it pushes, you know, the other guys back. You know, Tanaka, Happ, and Sabathia as a 3-4-5, that's something, you know, think about who they're matching up against when you're facing other teams and how the outcomes of those games could go. I think that's probably, for the way I'm looking at it now, the way I would see them go.
Understood and agreed. And the reason why I asked about Scranton was, if you believe opening day starter means something, I'm still taking calls on, the Yankees should sign Gio Gonzalez just in case, because you're always going to lose a starting pitcher, and we need another one. Well, And that's why you have a AAA team, is you have guys right. that you think you can call up and make that emergency yeah. start and the like. So does
so
a guy
you have,
like Loaisiga?
So you have guys like Chance Adams, you have Jonathan Loaisiga. These are guys who are going to be, you know, competing for a spot here. And if they don't get it, obviously they're in AAA. These are the guys who will probably, Domingo Herman, Domingo Acevedo. These are the guys who are probably going to, I would think, stick around long enough into camp where they're factors in case somebody gets hurt. And if you send them to minor league camp, it really just means you're trying to stretch them out for where they're going to go. It doesn't mean if there's not an injury, they can't just come back. So, those are the guys that are of a more immediate nature, guys that are on the 40-man roster. The one guy who was in the mix when we started formulating all this but is no longer in the mix is Michael King, who, you know, shot through the system last year. He is not on the 40-man roster, but he also suffered a little bit of an elbow issue really early in camp, and they shut him down for a couple of weeks. They've already moved him over to the minor league side because by the time they get him ramped up again, he's not really a consideration for anything they're doing over here.
Right.
So I think the belief right now is that what he was going through is still minor, and they hope that he gets himself back together again. But he's an interesting name just because of the results he put together going through three levels of the Yankee system a year ago.
All right, Sweet. Last thing, because I brought him up at the beginning of the show just to get a feel on how Yankee fans are feeling about his prospects this year. I'll ask you about comfort level and attitude. Any difference between Giancarlo Stanton year one and Giancarlo Stanton camp two?
I would think there just has to be naturally. He didn't, you know, just talking to him yesterday, I didn't notice a big difference in demeanor from year one to year two. But you know, one of the things Aaron Boone pointed out, he said that, you know, and I didn't try too hard to look for this, and I have, you know, not sure exactly where to look, how long it would take to find, but, you know, they internally have determined that the more he sees a pitcher, he gets a greater spike in production, the way, as Boone put it, than most normal hitters do. Almost every hitter will fare better after seeing a pitcher. Giancarlo's was a little bit better. So they feel the familiarity with pitchers and just seeing these guys another time helps him out a little bit more. They talked about, you know, really what he was dealing with the hamstring last year, that he probably could have used some days off but didn't get it because the Yankees were dealing with injuries to Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez and need to keep his bat in the lineup. The DH certainly helped there. I think there's always a greater chance to have a better year when you're just a little bit more familiar in your surroundings, and you can maybe think about getting off to a better start. I think he hit, what, maybe 240 with three home runs last April. I think last year probably wasn't all that different from too many seasons, except for maybe the early season, you know, again, lack of familiarity maybe contributing. But if you're comparing to 2 years ago when he had 50-plus and won MVP, his August was historic. I think we had 20 home runs in the month of August, you know, so that's something that's the month that put him over the top. That's the kind of streak that I think we all saw the potential for last year, but never really got. You saw a couple of streaks, you know, he'd had a good three or four games or a week here or there. He had a really good month in August last year when Aaron Judge was in the DL, but that was 9 home runs, not 20. And I think we were all kind of disappointed that MVP season didn't show up. It might not show up again. So 38 homers was a disappointment. But he stayed on the field at a time when that hamstring injury might have probably been better served keeping him off the field for a little bit. He didn't want to come out. The Yankees found a way to keep him in the lineup with the DH, and they kind of muddled through it. I think when you take all those factors into consideration, I think everybody expects this year to look a little better than it did last year.
Sweeney, if the temperature is still in the 80s by the time 4:35 o'clock rolls around, I expect you out at the pool showing off that massive chest. Swim a couple laps for me, okay?
Mr. Big Chest.
Yes, that's all you, big guy.
That's it, baby.
Sweeney, always a pleasure, brother. We'll talk later in spring. Right. Sweeney Murdy here with us on The Fan with his Yankee report.